You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Talked about this last night during the watch party, and thank you for everyone who joined us. We enjoy doing those. They are fun and they are loose. But when we came on, the news had just broken that Pat Riley had said flatly, and this was aggregated and became headlines because people are waiting for what the blow up might look like with Jimmy Butler. Pat Riley, who doesn't come out and talk very often, once or twice a year, beginning of the year, end of the year, he allows the organization to have one voice, and that voice is largely Spoelstra's in public. He says something that Spoelstra would not say. You'd never hear Spoelstra say that. If you're not playing, you should just shut up. Just shut your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. And Chris Cody said there is difference. There is a difference between saying keep your mouth shut and shut your mouth. And I don't think Jimmy Butler is going to make whatever that distinction is. I would be bothered as a proud adult to have anyone tell me to shut my mouth in public if there's someone who's my boss. I would prefer that they would tell me that in private. But what are Greg Cody's thoughts as you see that? Because I imagine, given your general mustiness, that you will side with management telling labor to shut the hell up.
In this case, I do. But I will say it was a very old school, old person reaction by Pat Riley, because it speaks to a day when if you weren't available, if you weren't out there competing, if you weren't there for your teammates, you got nothing to say about anything. And personally, I've got a little bit of Jimmy Butler fatigue. Look, he's had a successful five-year Heat career, no question about it. They've reached two finals with him. I'm not saying it's unsuccessful by any means. But I am saying he's missed a quarter of the games he's played, 26%, I think. They just can't rely on him. And so when he's asking for a two-year extension that would pay him, whatever, $57 million 2 years from now when he's going to be 36 going on 37.
With 2 years left on his contract.
Yeah, yes. I don't know that that's a wise investment for a guy that you can't count on. And that was Riley's underlying image. And he is speaking for Spoelstra because Spoelstra's got to deal with the fallout. If we can't count on you for 70 games, 65, 70 games, including when it counts in the playoffs, then we can't count on
you. I've mentioned a number of different times, and he has said it in a way that's not up for dispute. I've mentioned that Pat Riley does not like that $500,000, $600,000 a game is what Jimmy Butler is paid, and he's not available for those games as much as the Miami Heat would like, because he comes from a different time, and the idea of not always playing isn't something that he understands when you're being paid that way.
I mean, Dan, his offseason started with that press conference. Riley's did. He's negotiating, and he's telling Jimmy, hey, if you want to stay here, if you want me to even think about an extension.
Well, he said he's not thinking about an extension.
I need you to play more.
He said, look, you're right that the negotiations have started. That you're right about, because Butler has leverage. He is now using it publicly, not only by doing what he did in the paddock at the F1 race, but also with his agent saying, like, all of that leaking was, we've got maximum leverage here because look at what happened against the Celtics when he played, and look what happened when he didn't. But the counter publicly from Pat Riley is no trade, no extension. Like, I know people are going to concentrate on the just shut your mouth, but what he said yesterday is no trade, no extension, and the negotiation has already begun.
All right, and if you think playing hardball publicly with Jimmy Butler go as well, I'd just point to Jimmy Butler's career, because he has shown that he can make a huge public mess of things. So when you see Pat is a smart guy, Pat has gone into these postseason press conferences with agendas. He's done this twice before, challenged a superstar, before they had, while they had contract stuff going out, going on with them. He did it with LeBron.
Yep.
And he did it with Dwayne Wade.
Told
he
LeBron
issued them
not, yeah.
public challenges.
Right.
Do you know how those worked out? LeBron wasn't on the team, and then Wade wasn't on the team. Maybe that's the intent, because Pat's a smart guy. He put the sprinkles on the ice cream sundae there with the shut your mouth or keep your mouth shut, what have you, semantics game of that.
I do wonder how much leverage an aging, injury-prone Jimmy Butler has. I wonder
with
that.
With 2 years left on his contract.
Right.
He exactly. got an extension from the Heat already.
I mean, at the very least, they can put off this for another year and deal with it in 25.
The reason that he has leverage, and I understand why this is a discussion, the reason that he has leverage is because of how hard it is to get people like that. You may think it's easy in Miami. It has not been easy recently, and it's not been easy since they got him.
But isn't the majority of the selling, like, the friends would be coming to play with Bam, right? Isn't that what everybody says? Is everyone wants to play with Bam,
yeah.
not Jimmy as much.
That's usually like a big counterpoint. I know Jeremy mentions like all these stars, Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, they don't mention Jimmy, they mention Bam. I think also in part of that is they know that they can come to this team and Bam's not going to be the alpha. Like they want to play with Bam because they can just take the team from Bam and be the guy.
But you can't win an NBA championship if Jimmy Butler's your best player. I don't mean to be a broken record on that.
He got them to the finals, Greg. I understand
what
you're
saying, but he did. Yeah, he got
them to the finals. Again.
He got them to the finals from an eighth seed.
Let's not do this. The reason I want to just stop this is because it feels in some ways like the Tannehill discussion. For 5 years, we have been both right and wrong on the assessment of that can't be your number one and you win a championship. And yet, 2 of those years, they would have won a championship if against the Lakers in the bubble, it had been the Lakers who had the same injuries that Miami had with Bam and Goran.
With 2 of their best three players
being out. And the hope that the Knicks have, the greatest hope that the Knicks have of winning the championship is that the same way that Giannis and Embiid went down is that you're still standing around playing games and Jokic goes down or Karl Anthony Towns goes down. It's the greatest hope you have. So they could have won a championship. Like they were 3 victories away, but what they needed is somebody on Denver to get hurt. They
right.
weren't good enough. They needed to be playing games and somebody gets hurt. And it cannot be stated that the experiment has shown us that what we thought at the beginning is true at the end, which is Jimmy Butler, as your best player, has not been good enough to win a championship. But in that time, we felt wrong about that because there was a minute, or longer than a minute, where Jimmy Butler was what Jalen Brunson is right now.
Let's just call it, we were wrong on Jimmy Butler.
No, like,
no.
We weren't wrong on Jimmy Butler.
Billy,
and like the argument that was just made was Jimmy Butler could be good enough to get you a championship if the other team was hurt, which tells you he's not good enough to win you a championship.
Hasn't been.
He's your one.
I never thought Jimmy Butler was a guy who could be your number one player and lead you to the NBA Finals. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
We're wrong from that regard. I'm not changing the argument.
It is.
It's a complicated one, and that's why it's been kind of annoying and wearing on the audience a little bit because, he's a confusing player. He's not good enough for a championship, which is what the organization and fans alike all want, but he also proved us spectacularly wrong in that no one knew he had that in him.
But there's nothing wrong with what Riley said because Jimmy Butler, since he's joined the Heat, has not played more than 64 games in a season. Riley wants his superstar to be out there as many times per season as he can be out there.
And to that point, Sugats, the Heat went along with this game complaining in secret. In that press conference, they made it super public. No one likes this load management thing. And it's one thing if it actually worked. But what happened? Jimmy got hurt. And Jimmy got hurt specifically because he pump faked on a layup. Like, The load management thing does work, I guess, if your star doesn't get hurt. But when your star is also not available for when you need him to actually cash those chips in, then you start becoming very annoyed. And all those concessions that you've made and all those discomforts that you've tolerated with Jimmy Butler, because Greg mentioned Jimmy Butler fatigue. When it's going good, he wears on you. It's not easy. This has been the least turbulent time in his career, and it's not without a lot of work. He's a tough person to get along with for both teammates, the coaching staff, and the front office. And if you're going to get diminished returns on that, then you might want to capitulate.
One of the reasons Pat Riley was right is that if you think Boston would have lost to Miami if Miami had Butler, huge leap of faith, and I don't think the betting odds would have backed you up on that. Boston's that much a better team than Miami is, even with Butler going Jimmy, playoff Jimmy.
I believe that the single greatest thing that could have happened to Jimmy Butler's leverage is what happened, which is he got injured and we didn't get to see it all dismantled by a team in Boston that is better. And so now he gets to argue that I would have won. It was like
a good injury.
It's like Stugatz is 6'6 all of a sudden and he's Jimmy Butler with a drink in an F1 race, which is like all those games I didn't play in, I would have won all of them.
I understand the spin. I get it. And I think largely most people would agree with you. I actually think it's not good for him because he went out there, pumped his chest, it's time, now it's heat time, and it doesn't matter who we play, we're going to win the championship, and you got hurt pump faking on a layup. I think that's a bad look for Jimmy Butler. I don't think he actually has the leverage that the optics and the social media currency would suggest. I think that was bad.
Mike, not as bad as the look would have been that he had 5-6 for 19 games and couldn't get off the ground anymore.
Yeah, but he couldn't get off the ground, and that's why he got hurt.
But Dan is saying there's still some mystery.
Yeah, I guess.
tries to undo with a drink in his hand in an F1 race. Yeah. Like, I would have won in 5.
Yeah, but his body broke down before he could even get there.
That's correct.
So it's like, I think it's even more. You can make an argument that's more.
No, but you look at what happened and you're like, well, okay, that just happened to Tyler Hero. And what happened is they lost in 5 games and had a hard time getting to 80 points. Might have been different if Jimmy had been out there.
He challenged Spo, too. He said Spo needs to take a deep dive on the offense. And then he mentioned defense, too. But we all know what was plaguing this team. But I would say, like, Pat, I know you're running the show there. And it's not on you necessarily to take a shot at yourself. But while you're issuing challenges over there and you want people to be available, how about we stop whiffing? And not just on the superstars, on the Siakams of the world, on the OGs of the world. How about we actually help the coach while he's doing his deep dive on the offense with pieces that could help the offense?
Oh, he's helped the coach plenty, Mike. I
mean, why didn't it work out for John
Coach
Cicada?
Has done so much for that guy's legacy.
What hasn't worked out for John Cicada?
As a solo act, I mean, he was there, Miami Sound Machine. He was like the, you know, up and comer. He
like
had a hit or two.
I feel like
just
it's worked
day.
Out pretty good for John Cicada.
It worked.
He hasn't put out new music since 2017.
Doesn't have
That's
to.
What I'm saying.
Let's go, John.
Exactly. What's he up to? He had a star at the Clevelander on their like floor inside the bar or whatever. Since then, what have we heard from him?
It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up your game, Cicada.
Just another day. How about today, John? What are we doing?
Zagaki.
And you know it.
You do, and you know it.
See, Dan, he needed the energy there, and he brought it.
That's right.
He doesn't waste it on unimportant
Don't
things.
Don't waste it. If I go high in the register, and you know it, it's a serious matter.
Mike Ryan, incidentally, has now talked directly to Aaron Ekblad and Pat Riley on the show as if they're podcasting.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Don Lebatard.
If you lob a 30-mile-an-hour fastball to a major leaguer, of course they're going to hit a home run. The worst major leaguer in baseball is going to hit 10 or 12 home runs under that format being pitched that way.
So they
way.
Should be throwing curveballs?
No.
Like, what's your solution here?
It's a fake event. It's like not even real.
Stugatz.
Dad, you had a funeral.
Okay. Those were my deck shoes of long standing. They
real
meant
event,
something
though.
To me.
Real shoes? Okay. Right, exactly. Right. No. Okay. I am with you, Greg. What's wrong with that?
He got me on that one.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We
bring in Pablo Torre, who is live from just getting out of bed, it looks like. Mm-hmm. That is a very specific look, and that is not the look of, I woke up right now and I walked around the house a little bit. That's the look of, rolled out of bed, turned on the computer.
I think he goes for that look.
Yeah, I definitely. This is a stylistic Met Gala-esque strategy. If you look the corners of my eyes, I believe, do you guys call them eye boogers? What do we call these things that are sort of like crusting in the corners?
Eye crusties.
Crusties?
Yeah.
That's too cute of a name. That's disgusting. Gunk. Yeah, you got to call it something that makes you feel disgusted.
Yeah, I got some gunk. Amin has called me out immediately. I was in bed. Unfortunately,
what do you guys do with that piece when you get it in your? You just flick it.
I mean, usually I get it when I'm washing my face.
And you got it in between your fingers, just a little flick
in the sink.
So I've matured. What I do is I sort of like put it on a spot on a table nearby.
That's worse.
And I just sort of like
pick it up later.
A little pile.
I do that.
Greg knows what's up.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pablo.
I do the same.
Do you go back and revisit?
Yeah, I have a little spot, a collection, if you will. And I later will then go take a paper towel and I'll just clean all that stuff out.
Oh, wait. So how frequent are the cleanings?
This is where it gets tricky. Sometimes I forget. And so, but it's always in the same spot. There's a predictability, I would say, again, a maturity to the strategy. Because otherwise, you're right. You're flicking it into the presumed infinity that is your home because I'm never going to see this thing again. I'm just going to flick it over there as if like it were all polluting in the ocean. And then later you realize, oh, I'm surrounded by my own boogers.
Yeah, you run into it and it's like 7 feet tall now and has abandonment issues.
Pablo, how do you brush your teeth? We were talking about this earlier and Greg was about to tell us why it's very important to brush your teeth very hard. And then Lucy said, no, you should not. You should do it a lot softer. But Greg never told us why it was important to do it hard. We kind of got a bit derailed.
Wait, can Greg explain before I co-sign anything Greg says? That's a general principle I have. Please tell me more before I co-sign Greg.
I think we use too much water. It's a waste of water in terms of brushing the teeth. I think if you dry brush, I think the teeth enjoy that more. You know, it's not as comfortable. The mouthfeel is awkward until you get used to it, but it's better for the teeth, which is why you're doing it.
So I did invest once. I'll get to my answer in a second. I did invest once in buying a water pick. You guys familiar with the water pick?
I have one.
I shot myself in the eye with mine. We haven't had a good relationship since.
Dangerous game.
I was one and done with the water pick. The pressure was too high. It was spraying everywhere.
Yeah.
I couldn't control it. It hurt. It actually hurt me.
You have to use it in the shower.
That's not like gingivitis, bro. It ain't supposed to hurt.
You have to, that's a good point, Juju.
Juju brings up a valid concern, which is that my strategy when I go to the dentist, I don't know if you guys are like this, I have a dentist appointment actually this Friday, thanks for reminding me. My dentist appointment, I always brush more thoroughly than I have all year.
The big brush. Yeah.
You have to. Yeah.
And then you floss, so then when they ask you when's the last time you flossed, you said today. This morning.
Yeah. Plausible deniability is the name of the dentist game. Deniability that is erased upon contact with any instrument, which immediately causes me to bleed from my mouth like Nikola Jokic's arms.
You know what I do? I don't like lying to my dentist because I feel like everybody lies to the dentist. So when they say, like, how often do you floss? I'll just say something along the lines of, not as often as I'd like to, or not as much as I should. Mm. That way I'm not saying never, and I'm not saying every day, because they'll know the answer. I'll just be like, not as often as I should.
Yeah, that's good. The vague lie is the way to go.
It's the truth. Yeah. It's not as often as I should. The answer's never, but it's not as often as I should.
I am like Billy in that I, too, almost immediately apologize to the dentist. Like I should be better.
You should be really,
I know
you're
told
welcome.
Me some stuff before, and I haven't done it. I hand up. This is on me. What's about to happen here, the blood is on me.
I have the most insane dental routine. I don't have to lie to my dentist. He loves me. He thanks me profusely for how much I floss. So I start by doing oil pulling, where I swish oil around in my mouth.
What?
Yeah. No,
what?
It's really good for like preventing gum disease and like helping keep your teeth clean.
Oil.
Yeah, oil. Mm. It's like oil pulling oil. So I get,
what
I don't
kind,
know.
What kind of oil?
It's, I don't know. I got it on Amazon and it's like.
Like Valvoline?
No, it's meant for, it's some people use coconut oil, but it's meant for olive? like cleaning out your teeth. Ugh. It's called like Guru Nanda or something, and it works wonders. So then I do that, then I spit it out, and then I floss, then I use my water flosser, and then I do a tongue scrape.
Tongue scrape?
Yeah. I had bad teeth like growing up, so I take really good care of my teeth now. And then I do mouthwash, and then I brush my teeth, and I don't rinse it out.
Jesus.
And I keep the like stuff there. And if I do have a cavity coming in, or they're like, hey, watch out, at the end, I get a little bit of, like a little flosser, and I put toothpaste on it, and then I put it in between the teeth, and I leave the toothpaste there overnight.
You do the big brush every day.
Yeah. And when I went to the dentist, I almost thought my dentist was going to cry. He was like, thank you so much for flossing. Like, thank you. They told me my teeth were great.
Everyone lies to me.
Wow.
No
everyone
cavities, no gum disease. Look at these pearly whites. Oh, and the oil pulling whitens your teeth.
Wow. What do you spend, like 2 hours a morning on your teeth
or
what?
Overall, so I do it when I'm in the shower. So I do my oil pulling when I'm in the shower. So you just have to like combine the activities.
All right. I'm fascinated by the idea of doing all that before you brush.
Yeah.
I brush first.
Mouthwash before brush is crazy.
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 That's crazy.
Wait, hold on. Do you like brush your teeth first thing when you wake up or do you eat? Because if you do that right when you wake up, then you immediately dirty your teeth and you don't do that whole thing again.
No, this is all my nighttime routine. I don't do this twice a day. I just, in the morning, I just brush my teeth. Like, that's it. The nighttime, that's when I do the full extent.
I'm a late bloomer to brushing in the shower. I didn't start doing it until a couple years ago. It killed two birds.
No way.
No way.
Mm-hmm. There's something about the ritual of staring at myself in the mirror and brushing.
Yeah, you need to be at a sink.
Yeah, you got to spit in the sink or else it's not real.
You have to look at yourself and say, what happened to me when you're brushing your teeth or you're not doing it right?
Before we get to the latest episode of Pablo Torre Finds Out, where are you with your Knicks fandom, Pablo? Where are we right now?
Oh, he's back all of a sudden? I thought we left him in Philly.
If I allow him to be back.
I thought
we'll
he was a Nets fan.
I am at... these are all valid questions. It's at home. I haven't ventured into the garden. Thought about it. I live walking distance. I grew up walking distance. But everything I hear from you guys and also everyone else I know that I went to high school with is that I'm not welcome, quote unquote. And so feeling it out, just feeling it out for the time being. Seems like it's going well, I heard.
Yeah.
It's going well.
You'll pop in game 7? Is that what you're thinking? Or?
I mean, I might look, there's a future episode that I won't spoil in which I will attempt to return to the garden. It just may require some things. It may require some
Sudeikis
things,
courtside seats,
a trench coat underneath a larger, far more famous person,
a helicopter,
armed security.
Cannot confirm or deny. I use an electric toothbrush.
So do I.
Oh wow.
Same.
Yeah. No two, bro.
Really?
Game changer.
Nah, laziness.
Soft
anybody
bristles.
Who is that?
Laziness.
Yeah,
you got to use a manual toothbrush.
An Oral-B.
Yeah. Plus, it's like a workout. You know, my right arm's going like this.
Hand crank.
Greg, you go side to side, or you do a little circle?
Oh, I got to be circular.
No,
really.
I do it
You're
all.
You're a rookie.
I go side to side. I go tops and bottoms.
Oh yeah,
it's all little circles.
The whole bit.
Those are the forearms of a man with a manual toothbrush.
Damn right.
Greg, the reason why I like the electric toothbrush is because it buzzes to let me know, all right, time to move on to another section.
30 seconds,
I find when I'm doing manual, because sometimes, you know, when I travel, I lose
clock
a toothbrush.
Moves faster.
Well, I just don't know. I have no idea. I've been brushing the same spot for like 3 minutes. I'm like, oh, wait, I should probably move because I get very distracted in my thoughts as I'm staring at myself in the mirror wondering what happened.
Yeah. Exactly. The downside. The downside of staring at yourself in the mirror and making a covenant with the younger version of yourself that you used to be is that sometimes you lose track of time. And so I'm all about the really like this, of course, unites with my larger take, the best take that I have, which is if you don't have a Japanese toilet, you're an absolute f-ing moron. And the electric toothbrush mechanization of all of it is a cousin to having something squirt water into your butt.
Hello.
Speaking of being an absolute effing moron, as you put it, if you don't have one of the Phantom of the Greg Cody t-shirts on LebatardAF.com right now, you are a complete effing moron. Can we get some graphics to support this? I know I put you in the bad spot, video team. You are my heroes.
Oh, look at that.
But check them out, brother. It's my brother, Greg Cody, man.
Wow.
LebatardAF.com, man. Get you one or two, man. Back to you, Pablo.
I am stunned, Juju. Thank you for the setup. I am stunned by how well Greg has healed. Is Greg wearing makeup today? Have you guys covered this? Is this
a little bit of makeup?
I mean, remarkable. Remarkable recovery.
It is. I'm serious. Like less than 2 weeks ago, when I had my circle of eye or blood red and this, and I thought it was going to be 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I even told my wife, I'm not going out to a restaurant until this thing completely heals. And wow. I thought I was thinking weeks.
Three Tylenol and a bag of ice.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just a miracle. Mm-hmm.
Pablo, you told us about what a future Pablo Torre finds out. But could you tell us about a current Pablo Torre finds out?
Well, I mean, I'm so glad you asked. So Nikola Jokic, I don't know if you guys heard this. He is about to get eliminated from the NBA postseason. And every year, you guys know, I believe, you guys are on the internet, you know what he does every year. He goes home to Serbia and engages in his one true love, the thing he loves, and the only thing he loves,
animal
it seems,
husbandry.
Which is horse stuff. The guy loves horse stuff. But he loves horse stuff in a very specific way, as you watch this video. He loves harness racing, which is a thing that Greg may be able to explain, but I doubt anybody else can, because it's also deeply old.
Yes.
Greg?
It is. I actually won a harness race once. It was like a media-type, bad celebrity-type race at Pompano Park.
Who'd you beat? Hal Habib? What?
I think I did. Yeah, Dave Barry. I beat him as well.
You were on the harness?
They claimed I was cheating, but I wasn't.
How do you cheat at harness
racing? I also
won
a miniature horse.
You make
race.
A great question. Actually sprint.
Yeah, yeah. Because
they're only supposed to gallop.
Too much whip. Or you
if they run
them, they
above a certain speed, they get like eliminated.
Yeah. But really? Pablo, I do know harness racing enough to know that it's a dying sport in the United States. Like,
yes.
I just Googled it, and it's like since 1967, wagering on harness racing is down 78%. And so I'm wondering, does Jokic have an idea of that? Like, does he know that, hey, you're doing something that's really weird in this country?
Yeah, it's Greg Cody level weird. For people who aren't watching on YouTube or the DraftKings Network, the photo, I believe that was Greg.
It was.
That was an actual photo.
In the same deck shoes. The same deck shoes he's wearing today.
Incredible. He's wearing a bike helmet.
Yeah, they made you wear a helmet.
He's basically sitting upright in a wheelchair wearing deck shoes being pulled by a miniature pony.
That's a Shetland pony.
All of this seems ridiculous.
It was.
Look at that grin.
I'm winning. I'm grinning and winning. Winning and grinning.
As Clyde Frazier would say. So, Nikola Jokic... This is what this guy loves. People say he loves horses. He loves horse racing. No, he loves the weirdest version of this. And so what we did, to Greg's point, was do a study of like, okay, what is this sport? Is it actually good? What's interesting about it? And you learn that, A, really hard to Google harness racing. It's not a sport that has an internet presence. Again, look at Greg. The second thing about it is that it did peak in like the 20s or maybe the 40s if we're being generous. And so what we did was convince the best harness racer in the world, who is a man that Nikola Jokic has quietly been visiting, befriending, at every road trip where there's a harness racing track. He meets this guy whose nickname is the Bionic Man. He meets the Bionic Man and he hangs out with the horse people. And so we asked the Bionic Man to give us the Jokic treatment, and he did. He brought us in. We got a horse. We went to a race. We competed in the race, and that is the subject of today's episode.
All right, Pablo Torre finds out. Check it out wherever you get your podcast. Pablo, before you go here, Anthony Edwards being compared to Michael Jordan. Ridiculous. Your thoughts?
Not ridiculous at all.
What?
Not ridiculous at all.
Wrong.
Folks, listen up. I want to talk to you about PXG and their new Black Ops driver. You no longer have to sacrifice distance for accuracy, for forgiveness. Folks, those days are done. You get both of those things with this new driver because I went to one of their PXG locations and I tested it out myself. And my boy Mike over there, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you got to go to that location. He took care of me there. It was quick. It was efficient. By the time I got into my car, I had my email where my clubs were going to be sent. I have them now. It is a beautiful thing. What an experience. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000. I'm telling you, that is ridiculously high. You got to check it out. The PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all the equipment at pxg.com/Dan. Use code Dan at checkout. That's pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite, great taste, and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Cody decides to give his opinions on things right when we're coming back. He started yammering about, don't you hate the phrase controlling your own destiny? Destiny can't be controlled.
Right. It's an oxymoron.
Stugatz.
I fully thought you were going to go in with take the oxy out of it. That's what you are. I didn't say it. I'm saying that's something that Dan would say.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
I love you. You didn't say I love you back. You're mad at me.
Oh, that no. is, put it on the poll, yeah. Guillermo. Does Stugatz throw out I love yous only to get I love yous back?
Greg, I love you.
No, I love you.
Okay, feel better now.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Would you guys be kind enough to give me whatever it is in accurate breaking information on the shooting outside of where Drake lives, please? Because we have some information trickling in, and I don't have the availability to see how current and accurate it is, and I don't know how big a story this is about to become. I assume that many people are going to make links given what is happening with Drake in the news, and I don't want to do anything reckless here that's not responsible. So what's the accurate information as we sit here right now?
So details are still trickling in, but the CBC is reporting that Drake's mansion is at the center of an investigation of a shooting. The person, there has been a person that has been injured. Presently, they're alive, but seriously injured by this apparent drive-by shooting at his home.
And that's all we have at the moment, and I suppose we can wait until more accurate information is available to jump to any conclusions.
The alleged shooting was of the drive-by variety, all reportedly, happened at around 2 a.m. Eastern this morning.
I will segue from that while waiting for more complete information into something that Greg Cody came in here today wanting to do. Greg Cody,
do you find it comforting when Greg is breathing that loudly? Because I find it as like a not so subtle reminder that he's still here with us.
Yeah, I'm happy he's breathing, but man, is that loud.
I don't know that I'm a loud breather.
Yeah.
Okay, it's called exhaling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good sign, though, Mike.
Exhale.
He's alive.
Well, everyone else here has the need to exhale, and no one else here is doing it quite the way that you are. Yeah. You have inflamed nostrils, and what? It's just as a birth. Like, he's got the largest nostrils of anyone here.
I got giant nostrils.
Yeah. Naturally, given how Drake has been in the news with his well-reported-on, very public beef with Kendrick Lamar, which also included, I don't know if this is the same mansion, but the mansion. A Google Map location being sent out as cover art. There's a lot of internet conjecture right now, considering the nature of this alleged shooting.
I'm trying to avoid the conjecture.
And but I also want to put it out there because I don't, like, we just let it sit there. And the only thing that accompanied it was Greg Cody breathing into a microphone.
So. You could have just waited. I mean,
I could have, but I wanted. I'm genuinely curious about what the most up to date information is.
You can put the conjecture
is.
On other on other folks that are clearly everyone's running wild on the internet right now. But there is a security guard that
now
has been
Greg
very
Cody,
seriously injured.
Now Greg Cody's afraid of the microphone.
I'm afraid. I'm self conscious about breathing. I'm
catching the feeling that a lot of people are afraid of the microphone right now, given the subject matter. Yeah.
Let's catch up here with something that Greg Cody did today that he very rarely does. I don't feel like there have been many times in our history doing this that Greg Cody comes in here and says flatly to me, pulls me aside and says, I have a content idea. And so when he came to me, look at Lucy, delighted by the idea. I don't think you're going to, Lucy, I think you're going to like his idea less than anyone
yeah,
here.
She won't go along.
I think that this you're applauding this well, idea not. Back here, but I don't think you're going to like it. Greg Cody thought that as a content play, he gave me no other context for this. Hmm. And he said, we should shave off our eyebrows.
Yeah, I don't like that.
All of
Why?
Us?
Why?
All of us.
All of us. It has to be 100%.
Why?
Just for fun.
Oh.
You know, it's an experiment. Does an eyebrow grow back in? You know, I want to find that out.
Yes,
before.
Experiment over.
I think it's dangerous at your age.
Why?
I just don't think the follicles fire off the same way at your age.
Why are we all doing this?
It's a communal effort. It's like a team building thing.
You remember when Mike Woodson did that?
It is great. Please find for me, if you would, on the internet, the photos of former Knicks coach Mike Woodson shaving off his eyebrows. And I do believe they've grown back for him.
Yeah.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. If you're older, are your eyebrows less likely to grow back once you've shaved them?
Most eyebrows grow back. Excuse me, I'm getting tired here. Usually 3 months, sometimes 6 months. But somewhere within that range, that's how long they take to grow back. How
wow,
about that?
Yeah, I'm looking here. It says a few months.
Yeah.
I don't want to look like that for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Bad idea.
Yeah. That's a good-looking man.
Oh, man.
Damn
well,
right.
it used to Woody. Be before he shaved his eyebrows. Yeah. I believe it's distracting the way that Mike Woodson...
Put his mustache above his eyes, and you got eyebrows.
Or never shave your eyebrows.
That's another option.
Look at Billy choosing the efficient route for once in his life. You're correct. The better way to do it would be simply don't shave your eyebrows. But the second best solution is Greg's, which is once you've shaven them, just take your mustache and slice it into two pieces and then put it over your eyes.
Right.
Or temporary tattoos. Yeah. That might be easier than the mustache
I like Greg's idea better than temporary tattoos.
It's quite the conundrum, though, right? Because you don't want to look the way you'd look without eyebrows, but you also want the team building.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you do?
I feel like you could use mascara.
No.
Pencil in your eyebrows.
No, that's not what mascara is for. What do you think mascara is?
Are you sure?
It sounds like a pasta shell. I don't know what a mascara
is. It's not a pasta shell.
Mascara with
that's
sauce.
That's not what that is.
Can I get an order? Mascara.
Mascara.
Can I get an order of the mascara?
That's what it is.
Well, what do you think mascara is, Greg?
Yeah, what is it?
Isn't it like for eyebrows? Like pencil in your eyebrows? No. What is mascara?
Oh. Al dente.
No. The women think they know everything about makeup.
Oh,
all right,
boy.
What's mascara?
All right, Greg.
Whoa.
Say you're sorry to me. I didn't like the tone.
Well, tell us what mascara is.
No, say you're sorry first.
Say sorry.
I got to figure out what I
know what mascara
apologize.
Is.
Tone.
For those that don't.
All right, what's mascara?
Hold on. By the way, Greg, the way you said tell us, they teach you in journalism, never start a question with tell us.
That's fair. You got me on maximum. That. You got me on that.
Lucy, don't answer his question. I'd like him to swim around for a moment on defining for us what he believes mascara to be.
Okay, mascara. It comes in a big tube. You dip it. It's got a little brush there, and you then I don't know exactly what you do, but
nailed it.
I was on the impression
paint your eyebrows
you
on.
Go like that.
Yeah,
on your
exactly.
Eyebrows.
Right.
That's it's for eyelashes.
I think that's right.
Eyelashes.
That's
why,
yeah, it's for eyelashes.
Ah, me maximum.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think Lucy should apologize.
What do you mean, Lucy? What does Lucy need to apologize?
Question Greg.
I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
I believe, are you not going to respect Lucy's request for an apology?
Okay, do you really think I need to apologize to you?
Woman, yes.
It's a compliment.
Just calling me woman?
Or do you deny it?
Nobody admits they're wrong worse than my dad.
He is the worst, right? Like, this is, look, let's explore this for a
What's
second.
What's the last time
Next
you
thing
apologized?
He's going to say, you may be right, Lucy.
Do me a favor. Call your mom right now, because I believe that she lives in the same place that I do, which is Greg will make a wrong argument loudly and for a long time, and it takes him forever to make the concession that he was wrong. He will almost never in the moment just say, I'm sorry.
Raise your hand if you'd like to watch a courtroom drama starring Greg Cody as a lawyer.
Raise your hand if you want me to clear his damn throat.
Lucy, if I offended you in any way,
no,
I apologize.
No, that's not how apologies work.
Yeah,
no,
sure it is.
If you're offended,
I'm sorry. No ifs, Greg.
No ifs.
Me maximum. Right. Me maximum apology. I know how to apologize like nobody else.
That is true.
You can't even look at it.
Doesn't mean it's great, but like nobody else.
It is like nobody else in that you apologize by not apologizing at
all. I just apologized to Lucy. I like Lucy. I'm not going to insult her. Just now, I'm sorry.
Okay, I forgive you.
There it is.
Is that hard?
It's great.
Forgive me.
Seriously.
Phantom of the Cody shirt is available right now at levitardaf.com.
I have been negligent in not reminding people that Juju has produced some very cool Greg Cody shirts that you can get at levitardaf.com if you're about the Tuesday experience here. Artistically done, and somehow Greg Cody looks cool there. I would like to talk to Orlean for a second about how wrong Greg usually is, and when the last time was that he just immediately apologized. Because I don't think, how long have you been married?
Just now.
Now?
We've been married 40 years, 39 years.
Chris, I want to.
82, 83, I don't know. 84.
83 years.
Chris.
It feels like it. I'm kidding. Sort of.
What's the average length of time between Greg being wrong and Greg finally saying, I'm sorry?
He never does. He does the thing that he did here, where if I insulted you, I'm sorry.
Okay.
You may be. It's just, it's never like, I screwed up, I'm sorry.
Okay, your mother's cut from the same cloth. Talk about a woman who never apologizes. Oh, my God.
I'm going to cut this part out of the podcast for you.
On one hand, the number of apologies I've gotten over the years.
Well, how about you in 40 years? How many times have you apologized to her?
I mean, we rarely have a need to apologize to each other. We have an amicable relationship, not to mention a loving one.
Greg, you rarely your wife would not agree with the assessment that you rarely have a reason to apologize. She's simply gotten used to and accepts, understands, and loves a husband who does not apologize. You are out of your mind if you believe that you rarely do things that require an apology. There's no way Orlean is agreeing with that.
Okay, well, you know, she may accuse me of things that are in contest.
It's how women are, right, Greg?
I didn't say that.
I mean, we had a number of people last night who were not doing what they wanted to be doing. Chris Cody wanted to be at a Panthers game. Lucy wanted to be paying attention to the Met Gala. And I think Amin did, too. I'm not sure that Amin could have done without the first couple of quarters of that Pacers game so that he could laugh at the Met Gala folks.
I've never watched the Met Gala in my life, but I've always seen the aftermath. And so experiencing it secondhand through Lucy is pretty much my experience all the time. It's just instead of Twitter, I had an actual real life human pointing out things.
I also had my computer up there, so I don't know if you could see behind me.
I was not looking.
Oh.
Lucy, winners and losers from last night, fashion wise.
Man, I gotta say, there were a lot of losers, and that's tough for me. The theme was so broad. Garden of Time to represent the Sleeping Beauty exhibit. There was so much we could have worked with, and no one did. No one did. Lizzo, I don't know what she was wearing. Wow. Terrible.
That was the worst. That's the one that bothered you last night. And I believe you put, and this I didn't know what to do with, you put us in the position of putting you in the position, who was the only woman on air with us last night, of being fashion correspondent, but nobody asked you to do that. You chose to do that and didn't really want to be doing the basketball.
You should
with
apologize
us.
For that, Lucy. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's too much woman talk for this. Just call me Lucy. We don't have to just refer to me as the woman.
Regardless, who were the biggest losers? The biggest. Was it Lizzo? Because you were complaining about her last night. Ben Simmons showed up.
How is he getting invites?
I mean, what has he done?
Ben Simmons?
Yeah.
he's a bit of a fashion icon the same way that Kyle Kuzma
is. No one thinks fashion icon with Ben Simmons, Dan. Nobody. Okay.
He's like the Pink Panther. He just steals a lot of money.
Stugatz, I don't believe that you and I are qualified to decide for others who is fashionable or not, but the same way Kyle Kuzma is proud of the stuff he wears, Ben Simmons clearly put effort into what it is that he's wearing here.
Right. Well, fresh as hell too.
Yeah, Lucy explained it to us last night. He was actually on brand with whatever the theme was.
He did great, and for the Biggest Losers, it seems like it was me from all of this.
Wow. I'm sorry, Lucy. Aww.
That's how it's done.
Aww. A sarcastic
What are you doing?
How is it better than it was better when you were just breathing too loud?
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste. And is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.